just honor Pastor Don this morning as he comes to bring the word. Come on, church, why don't we be upstanding and give him a shout of praise?
Awesome. Absolutely brilliant. Hey, listen, here's what I think. I think we should give these guys a huge hand clap this morning because I reckon that was outstanding worship. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much. And now you should give yourselves a huge hand clap just for being amazing people and worshippers and very cool. And what else can we do? Just get excited about God, all right? Just get excited about God. Good to be in the house with you this morning. Great to be back. And God is awesome. That's what I want to say to you. God is awesome. Never give up on his awesomeness, okay? And he'll meet you at the point of your need. God is never, ever not there. He's always there. And all you got to do is just take another step into his presence. And what's more, I have found that he is there for everybody. He's there for everybody. We think we've got an edge on God, but there are broken people out there who have no idea of what we're doing in here this morning. And all they've got to do, the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, and he will answer you. And I tell you what, there are thousands of people around the planet right now just stepping into God's glory and God's goodness, okay? So here we are to celebrate. Thank you, guys, for awesome worship this morning. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we want to thank you right now for your incredible power and presence in this place. God, we thank you for good people that you love, and we thank you, God, that you have incredible open doors and opportunities for us. And God, today as we come around the thought of owning it, God, I pray, Lord, that what you have given so freely, your grace, your love, God, that we would step into it knowing what you've done for us and what you did on Calvary. In Jesus' name, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Well, before you get seated, you need to give someone a hug because if we're talking own it, let's own the atmosphere and give someone a hug. Not your wife, Jesse. Somebody, Maria, somebody different. Just give them a hug. Man, you sat down quick. You guys sat down way too quick. Okay, guys, thank you very much, eh? Thank you. Trying to find my way to my notes here. So anyway, guys, we're talking about own it, all right? Was Jesse all right last week? Yeah. I heard he totally cut it, and it's a bit of a hard act to follow, actually. But I heard that everybody's been absolutely cutting. I can't even find my notes. There we go. So I'm back, but I can't even find my notes. Just get this thing sorted out a bit here. But I want to talk about owning it. Because that's the subject we're on, okay? And so I've got 3 points for you this morning I want to cover off with you. 3 points. Here, let me give them to you up front because we'll probably never get to them in reality. But 3 points that I want to get across today. And I know that you guys, you love points. And here's what, incidentally, the verse we're going on is Ezra chapter 10 and verse 4. Ownership is an interesting word because when I introduced the thought of ownership, some people kind of freaked out about the word ownership, like, what the heck, you know, don't we own it enough? And it's amazing what can come across as condemnatory sometimes in a thought. But I want this to be the most positive thought you could ever think, is that ownership is God's idea for you and me in this season we're in right now, okay? Ownership. I've just been at a conference in Texas. I can assure you that they were very, like, it wouldn't take much to get them just totally pumped and excited, all right? Barely have to name the verse. Not that that's what it's all about. It's not all about shouting and yelling. It's not all about that. I do realize that. It's about actually having something of content that'll shift you into a dimension that this week God will be awesome in your world. And reality is, in Pentecost, we do have a lot of shouting and yelling. Well, not so much in Inspire Church, but in Pentecost, in most churches I go to, there's a lot of shouting and yelling. But you've got to be very careful that we are actually receiving content that will be worthy of a shout, not just today, but tomorrow. And I don't want to be just shouting today. I want to be shouting tomorrow. And in 10 years' time, I still want to have the same shout. So it's hopeless. I don't want you to get wound up on a thought that's just a Christian cliche that sounds exciting and gets you all buzzy for the moment. We've got to have something that we can really stand upon, eh? And like, because when I look across here this morning, what an awesome, awesome group of people. And I just think this room is full of genius. Full of genius. How many genius people in the crowd this morning? Come on, let's see your hand. Yeah, it's about 30% of you believe that. And yet when you were 2 years old, if I dropped you in Vietnam or in China at 2 years old, you would have not only picked up English, but you would have picked up Chinese or Vietnamese as well. And it would have been no problem to you because you were born a genius. Because you were born in the image of the Creator. And no matter who you are this morning, you are amazing. But we forget how cool we are. And sometimes we need to be reminded. And I just want to remind you this morning that you are incredible. You are honestly incredible. And we just got to get it out of us sometimes. Because sometimes it gets locked up in our inferiority and the pressure of life around us and expectations of others. But just be yourself. The best person you'll ever be you. And we're all different. Thank God for that. If you're all like me, I don't know what the heck would happen. Maybe revival? Oh, no. no, only kidding. But you know, you hang around with great people, and I believe there's just great people in the house this morning. And I encourage you with this verse, because if we're talking about owning it, what are we owning? What are we actually owning? Because it's about ownership, all right? It's about ownership. I want to own the call of God on myself, number one, because we're all called. No matter who you are this morning, you may have never been in church before, may doubt church, may have issues with church, because lots of people do. Not hard to get an issue with church. Even the Ark was a little stinky, but it was the best place to ever be on, all right? But there can be issues that happen. But the reality is, here's Ezra chapter 10, which is a verse where I love the hashtags, by the way. Hashtag, just own it. You should, if you're a person who plays on your phone all the time, Wayne, Jesse, whoever else I'm looking around, Ollie playing on his phone. I hope you guys are actually, like, looking for Ezra. Not one of these guys has even got their phone out. I think, Jenny's got your phone out. What about you young guys? There's a phone. What do you got on there? He's actually taking notes. Pastor Jamie Steiner. I tell you, that man is a legend. Keep your eye on him for the future. Just own it. Here's a word for you this morning, Jesse. Ezra chapter 10 and verse 4 says, "Arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We also are with you, so be of good courage and do it." So that's a great verse, guys. I think the Bible's giving you better than you're sort of receiving right now. Let me give it to you in another version. That was in the New King James Version. In the NLT, the New Living Translation, it says, "Get up, for it is your duty to tell us how to proceed in setting things straight. We are behind you, so be strong and take action." Can I just say to you this morning, we're behind you, be strong and take action. We are behind you. That's why we have prayer meetings. That's why we seek the face of God. That's why we actually have a Sunday service, because we're behind you and we want to get together and celebrate the goodness of God. In the NET Bible says, "Get up, this matter concerns you. We are with you, be strong and act decisively." So making a decision, you know. I think choices are huge in life, and I believe God's given us. Jesus won our ability to make great choices and great decisions. You know that, don't you? In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lost our decisive making process. They lost it to the enemy, and they surrendered their willpower to Satan and said, "Yeah, well, whatever, let's eat." Did God really say that? I'm not sure. Let's eat the apple and let's just disobey him. But Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. That was when the enemy was tempting him to quit on it, give up on it. It's too hard. Are these guys worth it? Yes, they are, Jesus said. So not my will be done, which man fails and easy wants to quit, but Jesus never gave up on us. Isn't that cool? Tony, Jesus never gave up on you, man. Should never have asked him that question. But I'll tell you what, Jesus never gave up on you. And Jesus will be with you. And I think, honestly, what we need to realize is that if we can just hang on to the promises of God. Let's look at the Message version. The Message says, now get up, take charge, we're behind you. Don't back down. And it's easy sometimes to back down and just get back in your little box and give up. In the North Island version, it's where we are, the NIV, it says, rise up, this matter is in your hands, we will support you, so take courage and do it. That's just amazing stuff. That's the word of God for you today. And so, like I said, my first point today for you is you've got to have your faith grounded in God. Where does faith come from? It comes from God. So to own it, you've got to have your faith on some sort of foundation. You can't just live willy-nilly. You've got to be founded on something, and you've got to be passionately involved. I'm passionate about this stuff. When I discovered, or when he discovered me, when Christ discovered us, when Julia and I made that decision back in whatever, 1978, thank you, baby, at 10:30 on a Wednesday night, when we made that decision, I want to tell you, it was like God owned us and we owned him. And his love invaded our hearts and we were never the same. From that moment on, we were never the same again. And I want to tell you, there are moments that happen in God that are divine moments and supernatural moments. And today, I believe on this altar today, supernatural moments happened. Moments that you can take with you and live on that and never be there. Second point I'm going to bring today, like I said, we'll probably never get to them, so I'll give them to you now. The second point I'm going to give you today is, what do we do to own an atmosphere? How do we actually own an atmosphere? Like, I believe it's pretty awesome, isn't it? Like I love hanging out with all God's different people. In Texas, I've just been in Texas. They own the atmosphere, man. They've got guns. And, you know, they picked me up from the airport in this truck that was about that high off the ground, big Chevy, honestly, America car parks are big, but even we couldn't even negotiate. We had to have like four goes at getting around just a pivot point to get out of the car park. And what an awesome vehicle to get picked up on. First thing, he's got 48 guns in his car and in this four-wheel drive. And he peels one out and he said, here, this is yours while you're here. And God, you got to love that mindset, don't you? And to a Kiwi, that's a little intimidating. I mean, they hand it, you think you're going to get shot right there, you know? We've never seen guns, you know? It's like guns are a weird thing. I sent a picture to John Pearson of one of these guns that he put in my hand, and John said, oh, I'd prefer the judge, and he sent a picture of this judge gun, and I showed it to the guy, and I said, in New Zealand, this is the sort of guns they like, and he said, oh, that'd be useless in a fight, and I think he said it's only got 5 shots. He said, you'll notice the mag on the one I've just given you. He said, I've extended the mag. It's got 18 rounds in it. He said, the big thing is in a gunfight that you've got to be the last one shooting. And just, mate, like, these guys are passionate about their weapons. I was stupid enough, because I come from New Zealand, to say, we've been hearing down in New Zealand that they could be taking your guns away from you. And he did exactly what you did. He laughed and he said, where's that country again? He's like, and it was just very funny. But talk about owning the atmosphere. And he gave me this and he said, you need a bit of protection while you're here. And I don't really want a gun. I've got God. I think I've got God, but those guys seem to all, they've all got, every single person you meet has a gun. It's like, anyway, you got to love it. Owning the atmosphere is what we're talking about. And they kind of, everywhere I went, I had a guy, forget what you call them, like a security guy, a protector. And, of course, in New Zealand, you know, I'll just wander over here and come down here this morning and say good morning to Stuart and just wander around like that. And then I'll sort of gaze toward the front, and here's the security guard waving his finger at me. Don't you dare move away without letting me know where you're going to move. I don't want you moving anywhere in this crowd. And so anyway, they kind of feel like they own the atmosphere. But anyway, what do you do to own an atmosphere? I thought Tim Peters kind of took the atmosphere this morning. It was kind of a moment, you know. There are moments in God that every one of us needs to experience. See, we don't just come to church. We come and experience moments. Everything is about moments. There are moments, and Julia just said 1987, it was a moment in our life that we're never ever, 78, sorry. In 78, there was a moment in our lives that we were never the same again. People here that have experienced moments, some of you waiting for a moment in God. And how does that moment come? I think God is the author of moments. And he wants you to have a moment. And so my thought being there, that what do you do to own an atmosphere, to allow God to create moments in it? Because I think so many, you know, I travel a little bit, and I think there's a thought there that I think I meet lots of strangers. I meet lots of strangers, okay? And strangers are incredibly responsive to the Word of God. No wonder in Mark 10 and verse 50, Jesus said that he will leave the 99 and go out just looking for the one. And I believe we have a world that's made up of strangers. It's a world of strangers. And boy, let's get effective in winning strangers, going after the one and breaking out of our cliquey groups sometimes and just going after the one. Let's be people that do that. I just have incredible opportunities. And the third point I want to bring this morning is what do we need to do to tune in to the needs and the pain of others? What do we need to do to tune in? Because we're surrounded by a world that is literally, I believe that it doesn't take much to get a God encounter. Sometimes we get wound up in our own thing. Evangelism has been an ugly word. It's become an ugly word within the church, across the planet. And I think the reason for that is that we have, for years, I think I am an evangelist. People tell me I am, so must be. Somewhere in that zone anyway. But we all have different giftings. We all have different giftings. But, you know, here's the thing about evangelism. I've had several people come up to me. I've done quite a bit of preaching around the planet lately. And people coming up to me in meetings just like this and saying, people who are 50 and 60 coming up and looking for a 50 or 60-year-old. Is that you, Terry? Are you 60?
I'm well over.
Let me shake your hand, man. Thank you for still being in the kingdom. Thank you for holding on to the promise. How long have you guys been married?
16 years yesterday.
Flip. Congratulations. Lord, we speak a blessing over you right now. We thank you, God, for an amazing couple of people still wearing the Speak shirt and believing, God, that what you spoke at conference would reflect in their lives and bring huge results in Jesus' name. But people coming up to me, like Dave, and saying words like this to me. In fact, I've got letters here right now, letters that say, this is the sort of thing they say, all right? Thank you so much, Pastor Don. You have restored my belief in evangelism. Another lady wrote me a letter a little while ago. She's like, man, I'd totally given up on the thought of evangelism and ever reaching the lost, but I want to thank you that you have made it seem so incredibly simple. Thank you for your message. And I think, unfortunately, we have, over the last, whatever, 20 years, we've made evangelism seem a thing like where we're going out to win somebody. We have agenda. We're agenda-driven. And I want to tell you, it'll never, ever work in the camp. People have been shut down. People have become minimized through it. People have literally lost faith through it because they were agenda. And we we worded it. We challenged people. We stirred it up that people would be agenda-driven. You've got to get people saved. But it's not about that at all. It's just about loving people. And people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the reality is that I believe if we cared a lot more, we'd have a whole lot more people that want to know the Jesus we serve. And all we really have to do is get our agenda shifted from, I don't want to have people make decisions, I just want to make people know that there is a God in heaven who loves them more than anything, who will heal them, intervene in their brokenness and their pain, and bring hope to them. So I believe today that when I ask you the question, how the heck do we tune in better to the needs of others? I reckon let's seek God and get his understanding on what evangelism really is, because I believe it's being a witness. The Bible says it's being a witness. The Bible says it's being a friend to the stranger. The Bible gives us an incredible example in Luke 10 about Good Samaritan. That two people walk past and there's this one guy who came along, and he literally cares for this guy and picks him up and carries him on his own donkey. It wasn't that time, but literally would put him in his car and take him and care for him and spend and invest in him. And I want to thank the group of people that are probably my generation, that have persevered and pushed through. And I want to thank you this morning, because I think so often we've like, rah, rah, where's the young people who are going to evangelize the streets and all that sort of stuff. But the reality is, there's a bunch of people that held on to the promises of God. There's a bunch of people that are still there and keep pushing through in prayer and still investing in the kingdom and sowing financially in so that a bunch of young people can get a hold of the promise and have a place to celebrate and a place to get excited about God and a place to have their meetings. And I want to thank you this morning for your investment in the kingdom. And I want to challenge you with this too, because sometimes you've thought that you're not effective, but I want to say the very thing that you are, you know, you are loving, you are kind, you are compassionate, you are mature in your faith, you hold on in spite of the rumblings and the shakings that go on. And I want to say this morning, keep doing what you're doing, because you're changing the world in Jesus' name. And I want to encourage you in it, because without you, we can't do this. Without you, we're not going to push through. Without you, we're not going to have the victory that we need to have. And I want to say, hold on to what God's put in your heart and just do more of what you do and take it out to strangers maybe. Sometimes I think we get in our groups. You know, Jesus was the master at breaking out of the group. The disciples that he was with, the Jews hated the Samaritans. So Jesus flicked them. He said, you guys go down, do some shopping. I'm going to go hang out with the Samaritans. And sometimes I think, let's go to the stranger instead of hanging out with people who think they know it all. You know what I mean? That's without being sort of condemning anybody, but I reckon sometimes we need to just break out of the little group that says it can't be done, because God's word says it can be done. God's word is incredibly effective on telling us what can happen, and I believe let's get a hold of what God wants to do in our lives and let's make it more than it's ever been before, in Jesus' name. Are you with me? And so I just want to encourage you today, really, that we can be a witness and we can change the world. All we've got to do is get a hold of God's promises in our life. I just want to read you a couple of texts, letters, things I've got recently, and there it is. Matthew chapter 18 verse 12 says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others and on the hills and go out and search for the one that is lost? Let's be people that go after bringing the love of Jesus to people who have never experienced it. I want more people to have God moments. And it's happening to me time and time again. And so I'm just going to read you a couple of messages that I've got. And here's a fantastic text. I just got this text actually probably 3 days ago. Hi, brother. We are so excited in the Lord, my friend. God is good. How many agree with that? Hope you are well rested and back home with your beloved. Miss you already. God continues to do great things in our life. What an amazing miracle-releasing conference that was. But we just wanted to let you know, your prophecy over Kim and I was spot on. We are still reeling from the amazing rapid answer that God has given. But just to let you know, we went to the doctor yesterday and we are 100% having a baby. Thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit, allowing His promptings to be released through you. We are excited for the next chapter in our lives, and we are excited on God using us. God bless you. Now, that was a couple. I was in a meeting, and God gave me a word, just a random couple. I was in this huge, huge meeting, actually, and this couple kind of stood out in the crowd, and I was like, God, what do you want to say? And God just told me very simply, they're going to have a baby. And of course, you'd be seriously stepping out on the verge of faith to walk up to I don't even know if they're married or not. You know, they could be just friends sitting together. And so I wandered down, and then I said, "Excuse me, are you two together?" And I'm probably saying this today for to some degree to help you in the gifts that are on your life, just to be real with it. Okay. Just to be real, because we get kind of spooky and we're like, hey, you stand up, you're going to have a baby. They've never seen each other before. They just happen to be sitting each other in the meeting, and it'd be ridiculous, you know. And it's happened time and time again in Pentecost, okay? But anyway, so I said, look, excuse me, you two, are you together here today? And oh, yeah, we're husband and wife. And then I said, I'd love to pray for you today. Is there anything you need in your life? And then they said this to me. They said, actually, we've been trying to have a baby for 12 years. And I said, you know, when I was standing up the front, God told me those two are going to have a baby. And I said, so I want to tell you right now, it's done. Which is pretty cool. You don't even have to practice. Done. I said that to them, actually. I said, it's done. And I said, it wouldn't be the first time, because God apparently did it one day with Mary. He's done it times before with, like, Sarah. And God's into that kind of miracle, okay? And so I said, so it's done. Practice if you want to, but it's done, okay? So that was on a Thursday night. I flew home on Monday, got this on Tuesday, I think it was, and they went to the doctor and they're 100% pregnant. Sent me a photo of the little test thing and all that, and went to the doctor to check it out, and they are pregnant. We serve a miracle-working God if we'll just be obedient. See, God loves people so much. He wants to use you and I to influence their lives. It's not going to be someone else. Just let me read you this other. I think this is the coolest letter I've had for a long time. So this just makes me laugh, actually. And I love laughing. We need to laugh a whole lot more. In fact, if you laughed a little more, you'd get healed a lot quicker. So good to see Faye back in the house. She's just been over into Africa and taken a bit of a revival trip in Africa, and I bet you've seen a miracle or two, girl. Good to have you back in the house this morning. Give Faye a big hand clap just for being back from Africa, going in there, preaching the gospel, stirred up a bit of evangelism in that nation. Boy, oh boy, God's on the move. Anyway, listen, here's a text I got the other day. Hi, Donna, because I always sign off, mate. You know, you get those texts from me. Does anybody ever get a text from me, incidentally? Yeah? Yeah? I try to do it a lot more than I should. I should do it a lot more than I try to, okay? There we go. But I got this text the other day. Hi, Don and Julia. For the past couple of months, I've been receiving text messages from you. So I just thought I should let you know that I'm not Kevin. Kevin, are you here this morning? I mean, poor old Kevin. That's why he's not here. He hasn't had a text from me for months. Because I thought I was sending it to him, but it's actually going to somebody totally different. So he's left the church, offended. Anyway, I hope not, but anyway, just a thought. But this is what it carries on. My name is actually Jalila. If you're here this morning, Jalila, it's an honor and a privilege to have you in the house, incidentally. An honor and a privilege. My name is Jalila. Although your messages were intentionally meant for Kevin, I thought I should let you know that receiving your text messages has been the most uplifting and spiritual healing thing I have ever had. How's that? So if you don't mind, you are more than welcome to continue sending me this kind of encouragement. But if not, then that's okay too. I believe this stuff is from the Bible, So thank you for sharing and spreading your truth. I appreciate your text, Jalila. Boy, I tell you, isn't God awesome? Like just out of the blue, God will get one digit wrong in your phone number and you're sending a message to someone that can change their life. And Jalila and I have become, I've never heard that name before, incidentally. Never heard it before I got this text. And then I'm sitting in a cafe in Australia the other day just having a coffee and a girl comes along and she's got the coolest tattoo on there. And the tattoo said, Julia, can you remember what it said? Something about God is creating moments in your life. Oh, no. Great moments are always created in the next step or something like that. Anyway, so I called her over and I said, man, I just got to get a photo of that tattoo on your arm. I love that message. And so she came over and she showed me and I said, by the way, what's your name? And she said, Jalila. And I was like, boy, it's such a small, never ever underestimate how small the world is that God wants you to go and reach. And you don't have to be like super Spiro, you just be you. And you're going to change the world by bringing God's love and God's hope and explaining what a tattoo, what they've written on their arm, what it actually means to them and see the power of God come in and infiltrate their world. Not by looking for some kind of, I want to, you know, get a tick on the box for you, but just loving people. And God just wants you to love people a whole lot more. Owning it is about loving people that God died for. And I really believe this morning, if we get a hold of that, empowering faith is really letting God's word become such an incredible stabilizing force in your life that it will literally change the world you live in. And so messages like this happen all the time. Otherwise, you know, it can get out of hand when we start thinking that we are not doing good enough or we're not maybe measuring up and we're not just doing. That's why I want to encourage you this morning. Most of you are doing all this stuff naturally. You're feeding people, you're making cups of coffee for people, you're doing it, but we've never said, hey, you're awesome. And I want to tell you this morning, you are amazing. If you've fed anybody, if you've invited anybody into your house, if you've stepped out and told someone that God cares about you, you are amazing. Because it's all about being a link in the chain. You don't have to be the end link. You don't have to be the one that crunches it all. Just be a link in the chain and make a difference in somebody else's life. And I think we lose it when we stop being a link in the chain and we want to be somebody important. And I think God's over people being important in themselves. God just wants us to be who we are, okay? We've got a world right now that's full with celebrity preachers and celebrity speakers who are raving and carrying on, and they've got three great points and people cheer on about. But the reality is we need some life-changing content that'll take us and birth within us an expectation of what God wants to use us for in this next season. And I really believe right now that God is a miracle-working God. And there's at least two people here this morning that God says, I am well pleased in your passion and in your desire to serve me. And God would say to you this morning, I'm well pleased in your heart's passion for me. And what you would consider as nothing, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Because all you've got to do really is step out of your box and love people. We love to complicate it and make it all technical and you've got to have a theological degree to do this stuff or you've got to be able to stand behind a pulpit to give it. But the reality is some of the greatest experiences I've ever had are just being me, just living in a real life, sitting in a cafe, meeting someone I've never met before and sharing the incredible love of God with them. Not even a gospel verse mostly, but just telling them how much people and God cares about them. I told you the other day about the guy who sat beside me on an airplane. Simon Matthew to be exactly. But Simon Matthew, the Jew. And he sat beside me and God gave me that incredible ability just to show him love that day. Sent me an email the other day and said, man, I've never forgotten meeting you. It's been the most powerful thing in my life. And I just want to let you know I'm reading the Bible now. And this was an atheist. I mean, God. You know, see, sometimes I think owning the atmosphere is about owning an atmosphere around wherever we turn up. That God is bigger than the circumstance. See, people will tell you all kinds of things. I'm an atheist. They tell me all kinds of crazy things to try and deter me. But the reality is that if you've got faith on the inside, man, you bring an atmosphere to that environment that shifts it to a place of faith. Shifts it. We just want to be. Honestly, we just want to be people that are known because we love people. And when we say just do it, well, just do it. Can I encourage you just to do it a whole lot more? Don't let stuff stop you. And just let me give you this thought. Evangelism has pushed reaching your neighbor. And that is what we've pushed. And people we've connected to. But the greatest stories emerging around the world right now are coming from people reaching strangers with the love of God. Like Jalila, just through a stray text. And I want to tell you right now, God wants us just to be real in our lives and live a reflection of God's love. And how do you just do it? You just live on fire for God. Light yourself on fire on a Sunday and go out of here with the breath of God in you. That'll change atmospheres and shift the dynamic to we own. I think there was a movie made, We Own the Night. Okay, I think there was. We Own the Night. I think it was a crime movie. It was a bit of a horror movie. But I want to tell you right now, we own the anointing that can change lives and mend broken hearts. And that's what it was all about on that pathway up to Jerusalem, on the road up to Jerusalem. The priest walked straight by. The Pharisee, the religious person walked straight by. Don't get religious, friend. Get friendly. Get friendly with God. Get friendly with His love. Get acquainted and familiar with His anointing in your life. Find out how the hang it works in your world. How does it work in your world, you know? I meet people and God shows me stuff in their life. Sometimes I'm unsure about that. Sometimes I can't quite work it out. But I experience with it a bit and I go there a little bit and I find that God does miracles. So just be who you are. You don't have to be weird. You don't have to be some kind of Spiro. You just have to be, if we're going to be people that just do it, that we own it, then we better be ourselves. Because people love authenticity. We live in a day where the authentic power of Christ in you is the hope of glory. And if it's not authentic, forget it. Get back on the altar and say, God, make me authentic. I don't want to. Jesus cursed the fig tree that looked good but had no fruit on it. He cursed it. He comes up and he says, hey, you're never going to be a fruit again. You're over. Because it wasn't authentic. It looked good, but it had no fruit. And God wants people who are fruitful in their lives. And as I started out saying today, every one of you is amazing and fruitful. Realize where your fruit is. Just get an understanding. We you know, some of us have condemned ourselves. I believe there's a generation that's across. I reckon we're in for a revival, okay? I keep saying that, but I'm feeling it in my heart that we're in for, and here's how it's going to happen. I see some people say, well, we're going to have to get all the youth off the streets saved. Well, yeah, maybe. That'd be pretty darn cool. But I reckon let's get all the people who have been in the kingdom for a long time, who've never been thanked, never been cheered on for what they've sown and birthed into the kingdom, let's cheer them on and raise them up a little bit and let's see a supernatural revival with people that are over 40 in Jesus' name. Because I want to tell you, that will be awesome. Well, maybe it won't be. I said that would be awesome. So I want to lift your faith. I want to encourage you this morning that God is about to do the spectacular on this planet. And He's doing it with people who already are compassionate, who already, you've loved people around you. Unfortunately, we haven't celebrated that enough because we've always been trying to say, where are the lost people getting saved? But let's celebrate the goodness of God in the people that are already on fire. And let's get you fired up about God, and then you'll start moving in the words and knowledge that we've taught about. We've taught about it till we're blue in the face, but not many people do it because they think they're going to fail, because they think they're going to be some super spiro person to do it. No, you don't. Just be you. Hey, I like your tattoo. Can you show me the photo? Can I take a photo of your tattoo? Because you've got to step out a little bit. And you take a photo of a tattoo, and next thing you have lit a world on fire, and next thing there's a radical change happening in her life. God wants to do that with thousands of people. And I believe today, let's be excited about the kingdom of God coming in our world in Jesus' name. Amen? Owning it. And so I'm going to finish this morning just by challenging you. In Psalm 78 and verse 41, it says, they limited the Holy One of Israel. because they did not remember his goodness. Can I just say, I've been challenged just in the last couple of weeks. I've ministered in several churches around the world, and I've been challenged about the number of people that are over 40 that God is totally igniting with a passion for God. And they've been dormant. They've only been dormant because they felt like maybe we don't fit any longer. But I want to tell you right now, God's raising up a generation of revival. And we need to remember what God did back then that he's breathing into the now with. And don't forget what God did. This is what God says, that they limited the Holy One of Israel because they didn't remember. Let's build a memorial today on what God did 20, 30, 40 years ago that's going to birth incredible revival into this next season. Wow. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Then another verse says in Psalm 68 and verse 1, and I want to finish with this today, let God arise. Just let God arise. And can I say to you today, whoever you are, because there'll be people from every different walk of life here, every experience, and that's why we've always held up the thing here, well, I hope we have anyway, and I hope you do too, is that belong before you believe. Because if this is just a narrow little clicky group that can fit in a hula hoop and just be tight-knit together like that, how flipping boring is that? Let's break that hula hoop open and have a house here. God gave us this place so that people from every walk, every background could gather together and experience just one moment is all it takes. One moment in the presence of God. And that's all it takes. And that's why we are inviting people in here. That's why we have a cafe. That's why we've just put up those incredible things out the front there. What are they? The sails over that playground. And we put them up this week Monday? What day, Christy? Tuesday, sorry. And we put those up because we want people to be able to come and experience. And you would be amazed how many people come and play on the playground, come over here, look in our window, and they're like, what is this place, you know? And it's a church. But we don't want to sort of go down the road, it's a church. We want it to be a place where people can have a moment of encounter with a loving God. And so never ever underestimate. There are people playing on that playground all the time. There's a prime opportunity. I've been out there and spoken to people who have ended up coming into these services. But we're finishing there, okay? If you learn anything this morning, give God a praise. But let God arise. Nothing is too difficult for God. Just remember, nothing is too difficult for God. If he can use me, I reckon every single one of you God could use incredibly powerfully if God could use me. And that's just the bottom line, because God's not looking for people that are so flipping talented and clever. God's just looking for someone who would say, I want to make myself available. And that's all I've ever done really is, God, I'm available. And you know why? Because I love people. God loves people and so do I. And that's the bottom line of everything God's called us to. And so, God will use ordinary people, but God uses extraordinary people. Extraordinary. Because when we encounter God's love, there's something happens on the inside of our heart that changes our world. Just before I do finish, I want to advertise our camp. Because we are celebrating our 20-year birthday with a camp. And there it is. They're all going to be there for you to pick up today. And you can go for that now. And we're celebrating it, and we're calling it Party Like It's 1999. And incidentally, some of you that have forgotten how to party, just come along there and learn how to party, okay? And I think one of the mistakes we make as Christians is we get really tight and miserable, and we lose our smile. The Bible actually says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So sometimes just laugh a little. Hello. Just laugh a little. I mean, laugh at yourself sometimes. I mean, just sometimes put on a laugh. I mean, this morning I've started laughing and Julia said, what are you laughing about? I'm just laughing because it's good to laugh. Sometimes we just need to do that, you know. Just feel like getting you all laughing. They say that humans are the only people who can laugh.
Would that be true? You call that a laugh? Kookaburra's laugh. I think I've seen the odd dog laughing when they're going for a walk with their owner and the owner's picking up their poo. I've seen a few dogs. I'm sure the dogs have a massive grin when that's happening. I mean, what a great concept. Let me become your pet. Lead me around the streets. Wherever I drop it, you pick it up. Man, shoot, that's got to be the highlight. But laugh, okay? Back to the Word of God. Let's laugh a little, because laughter is a great medicine for you. Laugh at yourself. Look in the mirror sometimes. Just laugh at yourself. It's good for you. It's just good for you. Anyway, 20 years of transforming lives together from the 8th to the 10th of March 2019. Scribe that down in your diary right now, and then we're going to go home, okay? Now, pick up one of these. Register early so we can fit you in. Christy would love that if you do it early. And just get that happening, all right? She's nodding her head there. So make that happen. All the prices are on the back of the form, so you as a family can begin to plan for it right now, which was our plan. Thank you very much, Shelley, for putting this all together. A great plan and an incredible opportunity for us as a church to get together and celebrate together. We're inviting Byron and Ann Graham to come, which we were just in their church last week. Incidentally, had a revival meeting in their church last week. And hey, here's the thing, in Texas, I was in one of the meetings that I was in Texas, went for 4.5 hours. That's just anybody who's looking at their clock right now. And the pastor, I literally said to the pastor, well, that's it, we're going home now, good night everybody. And the pastor got up and he said, I forbid you to stop. like you got to keep going. So I had to search through my notes and find sermon number 4 and go again. And not really, we just kept going. But hey, listen, I believe we live in the most exciting moment ever. Be authentic, be real, and love people. Share the gospel. People will say, this is what somebody said this to me the other day. They said, oh yeah, Don, you know what the problem is I have with your kind of faith? Is that you say Jesus is the only way. And how many, the Bible clearly says Jesus is the only way. And yet people will argue that with you. Jalila hasn't gone there yet, but people will argue that point with you. And I think sometimes we get very religious about it. And I just said, my response was, hey, when I study history, Pace know a little bit about history, when I study history, I found that Buddha's gone, he's dead, still in the grave. All these guys are dead and gone, but Jesus is the only one I can find who rose from the dead. And I said, bottom line, and let me just say this to you, he's the only one who's coming to get you. And so they were incredibly happy with that answer. And I think sometimes we just need to find an answer that people are happy with. Jesus is the only one that's coming to get you. That's why he said, I'm the only way. All the others are gone. Jesus is coming to get you. On that point, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I want to thank you that Jesus is the answer. And today, Lord, as we celebrate your goodness and your mercy and your love in church, I pray for every person here, God, that we would grab a hold of your promise, that this would be a moment in our lives, God, that we're never the same again. And friend, if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you've never ever made Jesus Lord of your life, maybe you've been coming to this church for a while, I don't know, but today I want to give you that opportunity. I always want to give people that opportunity to say, yes, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. And friend, if that's you here today and you need to make that decision, why don't you just real quick lift your hand and I want to include you in a prayer today before we close this service. Don, I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. God bless you, honey. That's awesome. You can put your hand down. Is there somebody else right now? I felt there were at least 3 people in that realm this morning that just needed to say, yeah, who is this? Who is that other person? Don, I just need to make Jesus Lord of my life. Just lift your hand real quick and I'll include you in a prayer before we close this service. God bless you, man. That's awesome. Is there somebody else there? Just before I close. God loves you so much, friend. And I'm just going to ask you one more time before I close the service. If that's you, just quickly lift your hand. Just real quick, right there. Okay, why don't you stand with me this morning, church? We're going to pray right now. 2 people who responded this morning, I want to say that I believe in you and I am for you and I want to stand with you in his promise this morning. I want everybody in the church to pray this prayer. Let's make it our prayer this morning as we go today. Everybody pray, especially the 2 that lifted their hand. But everybody, could you join me and say, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life today. I give you the keys to my heart. And I ask you, unlock me with your promises and with your love. Overshadow me today. Forgive me for my sin. Help me to live a life that's true to your word. And in Jesus' name, I confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. God bless you. That's absolutely awesome. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory today. We thank you right now, Lord, that as we would go with your goodness, that we would go empowered, that we would go in strength, that in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for healing us on the altar. I felt today that at least two people got healed of arthritic pain today on the altar. I felt that today you're going to go in victory. And I tell you what, if you still feel, somebody had a hip problem, you came up here with hip pain, and I want to tell you right now, you go in the victory of God and you're going to walk into your healing today. I just really felt that. I love you. God bless you. Have a great day.